the No Grow Follow podcast, where we talk about church and today's culture.
With your hosts, Adam and Pastor Jay.
Okay, Adam, let me change the direction. So let's say the purpose of the Christianity is to tell people about Jesus, to serve our neighbors, and to praise and worship, to pray and praise and those sorts of things.
Yes.
Right? And probably change the way you act.
Yes.
Right? As a Christian. So, what are millennials doing now? Like, what's working that helps them change the way they think, talk about the things that they love, and change their behavior in a healthy way?
Well, that's kind of a really hard subject.
Yeah.
Because if you look at millennials,
yeah,
they fragmented.
Yeah, okay.
Really, really, really hard.
The popular kids and
the nerds and stuff like that. And but I mean, that would go into adulthood, and it would continue.
Sure.
But now it's fragmented. So now you have these kids, well, people my age that go out to party.
Yeah.
You have the people that are like that super indoorsy. You have the people that that go and they do the lifestyle,
yeah,
weird lifestyles and stuff
okay.
like that. There's a billion different things millennials do.
Okay.
And there's no one true thing that millennials...
So let's say we don't want to capture all the millennials.
Yes.
Right? We want to pick out one of those segments. I'm thinking about people who are vegan, right? You meet a vegan, they can't shut up about being a vegan, right? They're going to talk about the way they eat, they're going to talk about the way they dress, they're going to talk about... I mean, if you're vegan, cool. Like, knock your socks off. It's you be you. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
But you know, that sort of stereotypical... You meet somebody who does CrossFit, right? They've changed the way they dress, they change the way they eat, they change their workout, they can't shut up about CrossFit. What is CrossFit doing? What is being a vegan doing? What is people who play Fortnite? What are people who are watching anime? Like, what's the thing that's really working that the church can get out of this model of we send a guy or a gal who we pay to be the religious person in the community. We put them in a building that costs a whole bunch of money. That's kind of like a business, but we don't want to talk about being a business. Like, what's the thing that's already changing people's behavior and mindset for millennials that the church can be like, wow, we need to be like CrossFit? Or whatever.
So, we like to excel at things.
Okay.
Whether it be CrossFit or Fortnite or anything like that, we like to excel at things. Or experience new things. Or at least be able to understand things at a more than basic level.
Okay.
So, for example, all these things that you said, there are two aspects to them. One, you better yourself.
Okay.
Which is huge for millennials. Millennials
yeah.
like to better themselves. The other thing is the social interaction is huge.
Yeah.
But, like, also those social interactions in all those things are more of, like, cliquish.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So you said Fortnite.
Sure.
There's the Fortnite community, and then there's the video game community that doesn't play Fortnite.
Okay, I get
okay,
that.
Everyone that's outside of that Fortnite community... hates Fortnite.
Okay.
So, it's because it's like a click.
Yeah.
It's like a clickish type
sure.
aspect. So, the same goes with everything like the CrossFit. The people that work out regularly may look down upon
absolutely.
The people that do CrossFit.
Bodybuilders hate CrossFitters and powerlifters hate CrossFitters, even though we all still lift a heavy bar. You know, there's all this animosity.
Yeah,
and I want to talk about that in another episode. I want to talk about that adversarial piece.
Yeah.
But for the people who buy into Fortnite, the people who buy into powerlifting, or the people who buy into and pick that thing,
yeah,
like what are those the attributes of the thing, and how might the church, for lack of a better word, baptize those same purposes, processes, and create something new?
Okay, so it creates, and telling you from experience, people like to enjoy succeeding.
Okay.
So, for example, the thing that I look for most when I play video games is that moment when, like, hair sticks up on your head.
Yeah.
Like, super cool moments. For example, there's this a game called Eve
okay.
That you play, and it has huge battles. And some of them last a very long time, but being involved in those
yeah.
is like a life-changing experience.
Okay.
So, but it's absolutely that the experience that you gain.
Yeah.
And the like companionship you gain from doing these things. Yeah, camaraderie.
Yeah.
And these friendships. And they push you forward. It's that experience that makes you want to do those things more.
Sure. If I invited you to come and be a part of a Bible study where we're going to sit in a circle and we're going to build fellowship and we're going to study the book of John together, we're going to sit in a circle and we're going to hear some stuff, you want to stick a pencil in your eye.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, okay, so...
That's where the church, I think, is wrong.
Here's
why. You're saying about Eve and camaraderie and fellowship, and we've learned and we succeed and we excel. I would say the church thinks they're doing that at a 12-week Bible study on John.
Okay.
And they've completely missed something.
So... let's take Noah's in the Ark. How do you teach Noah in the Ark?
How do I teach Noah in the Ark?
How would you?
I don't know. I would talk about, I would read it from the book, and mm-hmm. I would,
okay.
And that's where I would start. And if I was, depending on the kids, if I was teaching kids, I would want them to get out all the little animals and play with the toy animals that go into the Ark, right? Or I would want them to draw Noah's Ark, or I would want them to get felt and make an arts and crafts project with Noah and the Ark.
If I was a pastor,
yeah.
This is what I would do.
Tell me.
Okay, I would... take a congregation out to a pond, a lake.
Yep.
And we would have a duct tape cardboard boat race.
Yeah.
And then when we sit out there, we would teach you how to.
Yeah.
Teach you how to build these boats, and then while we do that, teach you talk to you about Noah and the Ark and what happened. But that should be a small portion of it. It should be more about the experience than it is about learning the subject. Because the subject isn't what's important. The thing that's important is the experience you gain. If you listen to a pastor preach,
uh-huh.
If it makes your hair stand up, yeah. You'll remember it.
Yeah.
If you enjoy it, you'll remember it. If you don't, you will forget it by next Sunday.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's huge. And that's like, it's really hard to nail down the word,
yeah.
But it's more of like a feeling that we look for.
Experiential is what I hear you say.
Yeah.
Right? It's the experience. The other thing I hear you say, and tell me if I'm wrong, but you like to be able to see the process. Like, you need to know what your next right step is.
Yes.
Because you need to be achieving something.
We want to know what doors we have open.
Yeah.
And behind those, like, the doors that are open,
yeah,
what is awaiting on the other
side. So if I said as a pastor, Adam, welcome to this congregation, welcome to this church, we're going to worship every Sunday. Every Sunday is going to seem just like the Sunday before that. You're going to keep doing it for the next 50 years and you're going to die. You're not coming, right? But if I said, hey, Adam, come and be part of this experiential small group where we're going to go on two retreats and we're going to talk about discipleship. And at the end of the 12 weeks, you're going to know these 7 steps and you're going to be here on this chart of discipleship. And once you get here, then you can do these things. And once you do those things, then you can do these things. And that there's a progression for growth in faith.
I mean, that doesn't sound very...
That doesn't sound very good either?
No. Because, you're like, oh, you could go do this here, go do this here, go do this here. That doesn't sound fun. That doesn't sound like... But if you're, say, something along the lines of, like, we're going to go on an adventure and learn about this, 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 this. We're going to go hiking this number of days. We're going to go out on the lake and fish this number of days.
Sure.
We're going to do this number of days. And we'll teach you and, like, list a couple of the really fun things.
Yeah.
Like, we'll teach you how to throw a net to catch bait fish.
Cool.
Like, that would be fantastic.
I never did that before.
So, like...
There's 100 Bible stories that... I mean, there's not 100. There's, like, 6 Bible stories that would work perfectly with learning how to throw the net.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, that sounds more attractive to me than what you just said.
Yeah, totally. It sounds more attractive to me than what I just said.
Yeah.
So, what you just said was Bible camp.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't know that.
But I didn't know that. I never went to Bible camp. Yeah. But
so, common denominator, people who, like me, who dedicated their lives to being leaders of the church, whatever.
Yeah.
Statistically, the number one common denominator that all of us share is we had a Bible camp experience. But at some point along our lifetime, most of the men and women who are pastors went and did what you just described. and it was so impactful in their life that they dedicated the rest of their life to it.
Why do we stop? Why do we stop people from doing Bible camp?
I don't know.
Because they have adult camps all over the place.
Absolutely.
I worked at a company. We went on a weekend retreat, and we did something like that.
Yeah.
And we did, like, it was awesome. There's a lake, there's things, there are trust falls, there's stuff like that. Awesome.
I don't know why we don't do it. We should. I don't know. I don't have a good answer.
I would not go on it. There's a reason I've never been on the men's retreat at the church.
Yeah.
I hear you go and you look at a book
the entire
weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't want to
go. Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that. But if you say, like, oh, we're going to go ride zip lines.
There's these leadership schools and these, like train like a Navy SEAL things. I get them on my Facebook advertisements all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. If I didn't work on Sundays as a pastor, I'd love to go do this men's experience or go to this yoga retreat in Belize for 3 days or go to this like CrossFit cruise ship thing, or like there are these experiences, experiential learning, faith building, community building activities all over the place. But we don't encourage our people in churches normally to go regularly on them. Right? And part of it is the one you talk about from our congregation, there's no progress. I mean, you do the first one called One Year to Live. Okay? So the men's retreat we use is put on by the Evangelical or the Lutheran Men in Mission, which is all of Lutheran churches, not just the ELCA, but the Missouri Synod and a bunch of other groups. I'll put it together, right? Bring Lutheran men together, and the idea is 1 year to live. How would you live your life? How would you live today if you knew you were going to die in a year? And the point is, you want to get your life right with God. You want to get your life right in relationships. You want to get rid of habits that take away your time. You want to take on habits that enhance your life, right?
Yeah.
So let's say you go, Adam. We invite you. You go to 1 year to live. You have a fantastic experience. 365 days later, you can go to 1 year to live again. 365 days later, you can go to 1 year to live again.
Yeah.
There's no progress. There's no, like, there's not a 1 year to live two. There's not a, because all of the things you learned the first time are still true and applicable, but there's no progress.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How many new rides at Disney have opened in the last 10 years?
I have no idea.
Not many.
Okay.
How many people have gone to Disney more than once in the last 10 years?
A lot.
Here's your answer.
That's the opposite of what you said about you wanting to achieve.
Yeah, you do want to achieve, but you, like, what I'm saying is, if it's there, if the experience is there, if it gives you the hair-raising experience over and over and over again, you're going to go over and over and over again.
Huh. I don't feel that way. I went to Acts. I went to Crescendo. I went to Bible camp. And I would go again to Bible camp, but that's because every year the program is different. I wouldn't need to go back and do the Acts retreat again. I wouldn't need to go do Crescendo again because I did it.
Were they extremely fun?
They were great.
They were great?
Yeah. So you were saying at the beginning of the podcast that millennials like to have progress. Like, you like to be able to see that you're winning. You like to be able to do the next step.
Yes.
And then, just now you said that as a millennial, you wouldn't mind going to the same retreat year after year after year.
Yes, that's correct.
Those two things seem to be different to me.
Okay.
Like, I can see going to a retreat this year and then going to the same retreat in a different capacity. Like, maybe you go from, like, the student to the teacher to the leader. Like, I can get that. But I can't imagine if you learn these five things at the retreat that then you go back the next year to learn the same things the same way, doing the same experiences, that just sounds flat.
Well, it kind of is, but if there's small incremental changes, then that's all that's really needed.
Okay.
For example, let's see. If you go play, people that go and play sports.
Yeah.
What's the difference between playing sports? It's the same game, right? Every time you play, it's the same game.
Okay.
So if there's small changes, small different changes in people, different changes in scenery.
Okay.
It's the same game. People play that game their entire life.
All right. I'm seeing what you're saying.
So it's not exactly about the end progression to us.
Okay.
It's about the time that we spend getting there.
So it's not the destination, it's the journey.
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
Okay. But it seems to me, all too often, churches pitch the final destination is heaven, right?
Yeah.
And you've got, the journey is from now until you get to heaven.
Yes.
And yet, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, it seems like, it feels like the same. And that all too often, we don't encourage people to change. And so you learn Noah's Ark the same way for 70 years. And so you end up with people who at the end of, who at 65 years old, really, really want to argue about how many rabbits there are in the ark, right? Because their second grade teacher in Sunday school in 1945 taught them that that's how that was supposed to be, right? And I would say that for me as a Gen Xer, maybe it's just me, right? That for me, it's about the next thing. So I got my degree, and then I got an advanced degree, and then I got a terminal degree in that same area. I was an associate pastor, and then I was the pastor, and then I was the senior pastor. You know what I'm saying? And so when you say millennials like to win, like to go through the stages of Fortnite or CrossFit or whatever,
uh-huh.
like that, I think there's that the church oftentimes lacks that progression. And so people come into the church and say, I'm a baby Christian. And we say, great, welcome aboard. And we never help them see what the next right step is for them so yeah. that they grow past being a baby Christian.
Well, yes and no.
Yeah.
The church has some of those things outlined,
uh-huh.
but they don't act on them.
Say more.
Okay. So, for example, we're going to go back to this. Youth group.
Okay.
Baby Christians.
Yeah.
You have them in your hands.
Yeah.
You give them some of the best experiences, hair standing off the top of your head experiences you will ever have in your life.
Yes. And they graduate from high school and expect them to act like adults and you never see them.
They're gone.
Yes. Statistically, that was absolutely true.
Yeah.
7 out of 10 kids who aren't involved.
I think it's higher than that.
No, they leave at 7th grade. Like, they get confirmed in the Lutheran church and you don't see 7 out of 10 of them. 3 of them stay and do youth group, right? Huh. You lose 2...
Of those
or
three.
2.5 of those 3 when they graduate from high school. And we do it on purpose. So confirmation is this place where you wear these robes and you come up front and you say what you believe and who your parents are, and we give you a gift. And half of them leave. And then they come back when they're graduates and they're wearing their robes and they've got their things and they all of the pieces that we show them, welcome to graduation from church, right? And all of those experiences that we spent time and money building for the youth, we don't do for the 20s and 30s. We don't do for the 40s and 50s. That you're absolutely right. We take baby Christians and in youth group, we try to mold them into more mature Christians. And then somehow the church expects that when you're 18, it's like a self-study program after that.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. I think the church needs to change the outlook on the yeah. young adult lives.
Yeah.
Because... And I think that ends up where the church needs to concentrate on and build a new foundation.
So
I think that's where they need to start. So we're going to lose this older generation anyways, regardless
absolutely.
Of what
oh,
happens.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're going to lose them.
Totally.
Because they're going to die or they're going to leave church.
Yeah.
But this newer generation that's coming in, they're not all gone yet.
No.
But a lot of them are.
A lot of them are.
But for those people that are still around... We need to build off of them.
Yes.
Then we don't need to build off of these people that have been in the church for 60 years.
Right, because they're going to come anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're doing COVID-19 right now.
Yeah.
And we're to 75% of our attendance who come. And you know who I see? People who've been coming since they were little.
Yes.
Right? The old-timers, right? The long-time Lutherans, folks for whom worship is a habit. It's part of their just lifestyle. They've been going to Sunday service for... ever and ever. They've been going to small group Bible studies forever and ever. They're the people I see. I don't see a lot of boomers. I really, I don't. I mean, I see a few millennials, right? A couple little kids and some young families. And then I see the folks, the 60-plus age group.
Which is like 99% of our church coming, group.
Right? And they're doing great. So anyway, what I wish we could figure out, and maybe we can't do it today, but what I wish we could figure out is I'll go back to CrossFit, right?
Okay.
I see my CrossFit friends who are your age,
okay,
right? So a new company called No Bull comes out with a new shoe, right? They're like throwing money, like take my money, take my money, No Bull. I want the new shoes. I want them in every color. Take my money, like, because they're excited. They talk about their shoes. They get a new T-shirt. They get a new pair of shorts. They talk about the people. Like all they can do is like live and breathe CrossFit. And I would like a little bit of that passion, right? I would like the church to figure out how do we draw that same kind of passion.
You said one word in there.
What?
That changes everything.
Talk to me.
Excited.
Yeah.
We need excitement.
Yeah.
Church is dull.
Yeah.
If.
Like, so what makes it exciting?
What makes it exciting? I want a way to bring families together. Okay. And I know this is like on the fringe, but like, I just want to have a way to reconnect families, because that's the thing that's like a problem in today's society too. We could have another podcast on this, but like, something that's like super important is family togetherness, and because that's not a thing. So if like we had activity where we had families come in, and for example, kids teach their parents how to play video games, or like we have a Monopoly night or something that is informational for everyone.
Are people going to come?
Are people going to come? Not the first time.
Yeah.
But that's also the problem.
400 people came to Trunk or Treat.
Yeah.
Right? But
how many people came the first time?
250.
Okay, well, that's not normally how it works.
Yeah. I mean, it's been growing every year.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's not usually how
But it
works.
Was a need, right? It was parents who had kids who were in costumes who wanted a safe place where they could, efficiently as possible, get a ton of candy.
Like, you know, it's a huge thing across the nation
huge,
now.
Absolutely. Huge. And Trunk or Treat's an easy, peasy thing to do, and I love it. As a dad, I love Trunk or Treat rather than going door to door in a neighborhood where I don't know people. You know, I'm going to totally go to Trunk or Treat.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane.
We've talked about a lot of stuff today.
We have.
I don't know if we're back to we've got a solution or not. We've covered a lot of ground.
Well, the solution we came to was we need to build a foundation. And this tower is duct taped together, and either it's going to fall and crumble, and it's going to shatter, and nothing's going to come of it, or we're going to build a new foundation.
Well, I think I would say new foundation.
I would say a new foundation, I think we need to take the tower out too. We need to take a big, tall.
We've lived in. We don't need to take the tower out. The tower's going to take itself out, right?
Yeah, but we need to move away and build a foundation.
We live in a time of discontinuous change, and the church has made fantastic improvements during COVID.
Like, yeah, they
I
have.
Saw in 6 months, in 5 months, I saw churches make innovations more so than they've made in the 500 years before that.
And we keep coming back to that point every week.
And I think that's been fantastic. But I don't think that now, 10 months into COVID, we can be like, man, 5 months ago, we did some cool shit. You know?
Yeah.
Like, we can't just be like, like cool. So we did it 5 months ago and like pat ourselves on the back, and now we can go back to normal because we were so innovative five months ago.
We need to keep going.
Now is the time to say, well, wait a second. You know, maybe a $500,000 budget to keep this building is less important than figuring out a way how to get these people helping their neighbor in an experience that we can then talk about as faith-based. A way to say, you know, it's less important to make sure you sit in the same seat than you learn how to make room in that row for somebody new.
Yeah.
Like how do we take some risk? That's what my sermon is on Sunday. I'm talking about risk. And as with a mission statement, like to proclaim the love of God to all people, you can't do that without taking
risk. You should get me up there to talk about it.
Maybe I will. Well, you can do it next weekend.
We'll see.
You know, that you have to proclaim the love of God to all people, you have to take risk, because I can sit in my office or I can sit by the pulpit, or you can sit in the sound booth or whatever, and people are not going to be like, man, tell me about Jesus, because I want to, I've heard I can change the way I live. We have to go out there and do stuff in the world so people say, why is Adam acting differently? Why is your life different than your life without Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's really the kicker, is that what I think people need to see is your story. You know, hey, I was this guy. I wasn't really very interested. Church wasn't all that much fun, but I have these other skills. I found a way to use those skills to impact not just my congregation, but the community around me, podcast, AV booth, mission trip, whatever it might be. That's exciting. And you can do it too.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's the trick.
It's hard to mobilize a group of people, especially in today's day and age, to mobilize them and get them excited about something.
Yeah.
But we can do that.
But to know that that's the purpose changes the discussion.
Yeah.
Right? If the purpose is just to keep things the way they are, we're doing that.
Yeah,
if
but
the
we
purpose
don't need
is to keep people comfortable so they, you know, in a risk-free environment because the world is changing too fast, that's not really the mission. You know, what we're talking about is exactly right. Mobilizing people, changing behavior, you know, giving them grace and hope in a fearful world.
That's exactly what we need to do.
Yeah.
And cool. there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah.
It's sad, but it's true.
It is true.
But we will.
It's also really exciting.
It's sad, exciting, it's true, it's a bunch of different emotions, but.
Yeah.
We need to...
Yeah. You've got two options, dude. You can stick your head in the sand and say, like this is going to suck. It's going to suck forever. Or you can say, this is going to suck. I don't want it to suck. What do I have to do to make it not suck?
Yeah.
And I'm on that hopeful side. I think that there are people like you, Adam, not just in this church, but listening to the podcast, you know, in churches in the neighborhood, in churches in the country, in the world, people like you who are saying, wait a second, this Jesus thing is more than just... singing the same old songs. This Jesus thing is about changing the community for good. And I see charity water. I see people cleaning up the ocean. I see people caring for sharks. I see like your demographic wants to be involved and change the world for better.
We do.
Yeah.
But the church doesn't stand for that.
Yeah.
But they should.
They absolutely should.
But they need to change their foundation.
Yeah.
And that's what we keep coming to.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening to the No Grow Follow podcast. Stick with us. We're going to make some changes in the way we do it in the next couple of weeks. We'll fill you in on some of that later. If you've got questions or concerns or comments, please reach out to us, email or our Twitter, and connect with us. We'd love to hear what you have to say.
Our email is nogrowfollowpodcast@yahoo.com, and our
Twitter
is nogrowfollowpodcast. One.
That's the number one, not O-N-E.
Yes.
So yeah, send us a message. We'd love to hear from you. Let me say a prayer for us. Dear God, I ask you to continue to bless all those that listen to this podcast as we have an excitement to change the world for Jesus. Dear Lord, let us reach into many generations. Let us find new foundations, always built on you and your love and your acceptance of all people. Dear Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, everybody.
Have a wonderful day, morning, evening, whatever time it is.